I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, welcome back to the Modern Australian Underground. I'm your host, Christina Papp, and on the show today, I'll be talking to David Forcier. Dave is from Quebec, Canada, and moved back there mid last year after living in Melbourne for the past 5 years. After moving to Melbourne and knowing no one, he broke into the Melbourne punk scene by taking photos of bands at shows and started drumming in proto-punk pub rock band Civic, who have gone on to release records through Antifade, Total Punk, and Flightless Records. He's about to release a second issue of his photozine Reckless, the launch of which is happening at Lulu's on Sunday, the 14th of February of 2021. It comes with a mixtape of random songs chosen by the bands featured in the zine. I'm not playing mixtape songs on the show, but we'll be playing a bunch of songs by bands that are featured in this new issue of Reckless, with a track list available to check out on the episode page over at litmus.media. We talk about the launch as well as what was happening when he moved to Melbourne, getting to know people in the scene, taking photos, joining Civic, and a bunch more. Right now on the Modern Australian Underground.
We'll be right back. spears. There's something in the rain. There's something else to be scared about. There's something in the rain. And it keeps me clear. And that'll help you see. See this, that it's good for me. You can't believe it's squeaky clean, and it's good for skin. And it keeps me clean and sugar free. It's good for me, it's good for me. You can't believe that. There's something in the rain. There's something else to be scared about. There's something in the rain. And it keeps me clear. It'll help you see it. It's cruelty free. That's seen on TV. You can't believe it's antifreeze. That it's a meal for three. That it's 12 months free. And it makes you right. Helps you sleep at night. And you can't believe. But you still believe it. Yeah.
So I'm living in Quebec, Canada, sort of like an hour from Montreal in the woods. Mm. I got kicked out of Australia sort of because of visa problems, like at the beginning or like sort of midway through the pandemic. So I'm kind of just stranded here. I'm living with my family temporarily, and that's kind of where I'm at.
You're in Canada now. Your whole journey with Australia started in Canada. When did you like move to Australia, and what do you remember happening around the time in your life that led up to you making the decision to move to Australia?
When did I move? So it was about 5 years ago. November 5 years ago. And I think that my main thing was just like, I was so sick of winter here that I just decided at some point to be like, you know, I need to get away from this for at least one winter, cause I can't handle this shit. And then just kind of looked into visa options and stuff. And then I guess the main reason was that, and then also like it was a place where I knew that music would be good, and it was just like I had started getting into like whatever bands, like I guess it sort of started with, you know, like catching wind of Total Control shit happening currently, and then sort of digging around and being like, oh, this city seems great for the exact thing that I'm into. So yeah, just winged it and moved, didn't know anyone, and 5 years later just ended up kind of calling it my home, which is sort of strange to think of now because I'm actually in my home now, but it doesn't really feel like home.
I guess you live a pretty different life to everything that we're talking about now, but I was going to ask.
Yeah.
Okay. So coming to Australia, like when did you start taking photos, and coming to Australia, did you see it as a way to be able to like interact with people, talk to people, get to know them, collaborate, and like get involved in some sort of music scene?
Yeah, I think all of that kind of, I started taking photos like sort of as I was living in Europe at the time, and I always knew that I could do it because I was just like, oh, you see people doing it. I was like, I could do that. Yeah. As it turns out, like it takes a while to get good at like anything that's worthwhile doing. But yeah, so eventually I just started doing it all the time, and just it gave me something to do at shows that wasn't just, you know, watching and doing. But when I came to Australia, yeah, it was definitely all that. Like I knew that like, I didn't know anyone, right? Like I said before, it's like, I knew one person and they weren't really in a scene really. So I was just like, I had to go on my own and figure it out. So I just started going to gigs and taking photos. And it was just this other thing that I had that it gave me something to talk about at least. And I knew that I was documenting something that was like a bit interesting as well, because coming from where I was coming, like the music scene wasn't that particularly interesting to me anymore, really. I had sort of just been like, you know what, I could just take or leave this, you know. But then going to Melbourne, it was just like there was, you know, there was gigs every fucking every day pretty much. And every weekend there was something really good. And it was bands that I knew about that I was just like, oh, it's crazy. I get to see this band finally because it's all the way over here. But it would be at the front bar or something. And I was like, this is insane to me that this even happens. You know, like all the gigs at the Tote front bar at the Labor in Vain, like that's just like not really a thing like around here or anything that I was used to, especially like bands that I liked. So yeah, like, and yeah, like I said, it just gave me something extra. So it was just like, you know, I had a way to, you know, message people after and be like, hey, I got some photos of you. And it was just like a good way to introduce myself to people that wasn't just like, hey, I'm a guy drinking a beer. Do you want to have a conversation, you know?
Right now.
Well, in saying that, explain why you think taking photos is still important in an age where everyone has a phone with a good camera, and like what makes what you do so different.
Well, the thing about it is, I mean, it's so easy to take a photo, right? Like anyone can take a photo with their phone, like you say, but, and even, I guess, to be honest, like a camera phone is probably better than the camera that I'm using at this point as well. And that was like a thing that I consciously did. It was just like, I stopped upgrading gear because I basically just have like a couple point and shoot film cameras and then like a digital SLR, but it's like a really old one and it's like got less megapixels than like an iPhone 3 or something.
Right.
But that's part of the whole thing where I was just like, I set limitations for myself so that I knew what range I could work in, and then sort of just developed like the aesthetic around that, as opposed to just being like, oh, I have a zine coming out and it's just photos from my fucking phone, you know, like,
yeah,
no, like that's not really a thing. And in terms of like why it's important, I think like everything should be sort of documented so we can like look back on things and not look back on it through this lens of like weird technology, you know, like, yeah, like having some sort of like physical thing is important in some way, you know, like.
It's just like buying a record versus like having the Spotify or whatever. It's like,
well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. I mean, we're all still making records, right? Mm. And if it was just for the sake of listening to music, then why would we be like melting down all this wax and like shipping it all over the world? You know, there's clearly a demand for like physical things. And I suppose it applies the same to photography or whatever other medium that you're trying to express yourself in.
Yeah.
You know, like if you, like, it's like buying a painting. It's just like, you're not going to just go on Google and find the best painting and print it and hang it up on your wall. Although I think people probably do that, but yeah. You know what I mean? Like it's the value is in the
detail, like the texture,
the uniqueness and like the medium it's in and all those things. And it definitely applies to photography as well, as far as I think anyway.
What did the first one have like a specific focus and like that's different to this one now?
I think that the first one was, I made a point to just make it only Australian bands because it just made more sense, because it was just like the sort of, it wasn't a new thing to me at that point because it was still 3 years after I moved there. But yeah, the first one I just made all Australian because I was like, oh, this will be its own thing, you know, and I didn't need to add in all like other touring bands and artists that had been around because it just didn't seem like it was that important at the time, especially because it was like a band that I'd mostly seen before anyway, you know, like
yeah.
At other points in time in my life. The new one is like, I mean, it's still mostly Australian shit, but it has like, I just didn't limit it to that because I was just like, there was a bunch of like photos that I had kicking around that I just really wanted to have out there because I thought they were really good and there was like no other way to release it, you know, like, so like there was like some photos of Pousse Marie that were great from that one show where Straight Jacket played and at the Tote, like that one time. There's a bunch of other random touring stuff, but nothing, the main focus is still Australian bands, but.
Having like even a theme like that, it's that in itself is a snapshot of time. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. Like I didn't do it on purpose, obviously, but like no one knew what the world was going to be like, you know, in 2020. But it's a pretty good like bookended version of like what music was sort of like over a 3 year period leading up to that. And I don't know if it'll ever really go back to the same as it was. And I'm sure there's plenty of venues that are never going to open. So it's kind of like this weird, like nostalgic thing now where like if you look through all the photos, you're like, well, that won't happen again for a while, you know?
Yeah,
so,
totally.
But it's so confusing. And even going through all the photos from the book, there's some really great photos of like, it must've been like Low Life at Maggot Fest or something like that, where the crowd shots are pretty wild because everyone was just going ape shit. And like seeing that now, you're like, that doesn't seem right. Like that's not even legal, you know?
Yeah. Did you ever do anything similar in Canada regarding releasing a photo zine? And also, I guess you kind of already answered this, but like, yeah, what is the difference in like you've noticed going to shows in Melbourne versus shows in Canada in terms of like bands? General rocking.
I wanted to do like a photo zine for a long time because I have this like insane backlog of photos because I've been taking photos of shit since like 2006 or something when I was living in in the UK. So there's this massive backlog and I just never knew what to do with it because I just couldn't be fucked or whatever, you know, I was like too busy doing other shit. But I kind of knew that I wanted to do something like from going to Melbourne because I was like, oh, no one knows me here. I can just like be this guy, you know, like I can get the photos, you know, and there was no like weird, I don't know, like I feel like I've made a lot of progress in my like personal, like mental health as well over time. Yeah. I was just like, you know, I was very depressed for a long time. So I just didn't want to do anything, you know, I was just like, oh, everyone hates me or, you know.
We all love you, Dave.
Yeah, thanks. What was the other part of that question? The difference between gigs. I mean, it's been so long, I can fucking barely remember. I mean, yeah. I've played so much and it's just, I don't know. I could go down a rabbit hole of like really negative shit, which I don't necessarily want to do, but,
No, yeah.
I just got sick of like the music, just like the actual music coming out of like where I was from. I was just like, this is just like, it was all like fun, like power poppy kind of shit. And it's just not really my thing. Mm. And it just didn't really have a lot of, it just didn't have a lot of substance to it. And like, in terms of like people's actual technical ability or like what, like how much they knew what they wanted, it was just like this massive amount of confusion where at least like everyone in Melbourne just like knows what they want and do it, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And as weird as like some music can sound, or like there's so many different things happening, but everyone's got intent, which I think is really important. Mm. I mean, if you don't have intent, you're just like this wash of like, you know, your music sounds like it was made by an algorithm or something.
Yeah.
So
which, I mean, Australia does have that, but we also do have good music.
But there's so much like rich like music culture from Australia, you know what I mean? Like, mm. the music that people were into, let's say like quote unquote, like our parents, like would have been into like good shit because of that was just like the norm, you know, like that's my impression of it anyway. You know, it wasn't weird for people to be into the Saints if they weren't even really that into punk, you know, like that, yeah, kind of thing. Like ever, or like so much of that. Whereas here, like, I don't want this to sound like I'm like bagging out fucking Canada because like Canada's great for its own reasons, but like, you know, music history of whatever stuff I'm into is just kind of like, what do you mean you don't like fucking Neil Young? Which I do, but you know what I mean? Like, it's just like what else do we have? Yeah. You know, like there's a few, like, I mean, you know, like the Vile Tones or like there's plenty of like good punk bands, but it's just not as common. And to be honest, it's just not as good.
Like, I've seen your photos. Yeah. I looked through the first Reckless and like something I love about your photos is that it really, you know, we're here, we're playing in these bands, but like, I feel like the way that you have your photos and the way that, yeah, the photos, you bring them together brings all of us together outside of that zine. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it really you've created community in a zine through your photos. What are some of your favorite memories of taking photos in Australia? Maybe like specific shows or people you've worked with?
I mean, I don't really, I was going to say, I don't really work with anyone, but I mean, a couple of times I've been asked, like with like Maggot Fest or whatever, yeah, like they would always just be like, oh, like, you know, just, are you coming? You know, making sure I come because everyone wants photos, you know. It's not work, but it's just like this idea of people actually appreciating something and understanding the documenting things. And I guess like the way that I take photos is more of like documentary style, that's as opposed to being like really stylistic, you know. And it goes in part with what I was saying before about limitations, you know. It's just like, I know where I sit with my limitations of what I'm taking, you know. So yeah, I don't know. I guess there's been points where I, like, while taking photos of like some insane night or something, like I knew that it was something that I was like, oh, this will be remembered for a long time. There's a bunch of those like throughout the books, yeah, like both of them, where people be like, you know, the classic thing of people being like, oh, like, were you at this thing where so-and-so did that? Like some crazy thing happened. Like I remember in the first book, there was like some photos of Lowlife and it might've been at Maggot Fest. I know it was at the Tote, but it was just like the fucking wildest gig. And there was like people were bleeding all over the stage because there was broken glass like all over the place. And it just like, I just felt like it was important to sort of capture these sort of moments in time. And especially now, like I said before, it's like, I don't know when we're going to be able to like, not to say that that's good, that people are bleeding everywhere, you know, but.
I know what you mean. It's
just, but it's still something that happened. It's part of culture. And I think it's important to like have those things. Otherwise we're just, and same with like photography shit. It's just like, if you don't have people doing interesting stuff with photos or creating their own like style or whatever, then you just end up with a bunch of wedding photographers that are just, all their photos look the same and you can't even tell the difference between them because everyone's just got the best equipment and et cetera, et cetera. That just makes everything fucking bland and boring.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I got it.
when in that little thing you sent me, that little press release, you mentioned that the photos, you'd taken the photos as an outsider, but have you always viewed yourself as an outsider?
I guess kind of, yeah. Like, I mean, I've got my own issues with like self-identity and stuff like that. I think in part because of where I grew up and where I currently am, but yeah, like living sort of in between provinces and languages has always been sort of weird, and like not knowing where to fit in. And so I guess it's something that I'm definitely used to at this point, you know, like I remember growing up, like not being French enough for the French people, but then not being English enough for the English people. And then kind of just being like, all right, well, this is fucking weird. Yeah, like moving to Melbourne and all that, I was like, it was just so obviously an outsider because I didn't know anyone, you know, and not to say that I was like trying to be like the cool outsider or whatever the fuck, but it was just by default, I was like, I didn't know anyone. You went places and you're like, oh, I remember that person from a different, I remember the funniest thing about moving to Melbourne was just thinking that everyone was so nice. I was like, why is everyone so fucking nice here? And then it took like a year to just be like, oh wait, it's not that everyone's nice. You just didn't know that everyone was an asshole, which is also not true. But you know what I mean? Like there's a lot of like politics stuff that goes around that you don't know about you have the same thing. When you moved to Toronto, you were probably like, wow, everyone's so great here. And then after like a year or two, you're like, oh wait, there's issues that I was just completely unaware of.
Can you tell me about the launch of the first one and then tell me what's coming, like what you're doing for the second one?
Yeah, when the first one came out, I think I just went for the easiest way to do it. It was just like, I was working at the tramway hotel at the time. Mm. And I was like, can I launch this thing here?
Oh, you did it at the tramway. Because,
yeah. And who did I get to play? I got two bands. Oh, yeah. I got Rabbit Dogs and Spotting to play. And then sort of just launched it there because it was just like easy and whatever. But for this one, it was, I mean, I'm obviously way the fuck over here. So I had to, I don't know, I just like happened to message Oscar. It worked out really weird because I messaged him being like, hey, I'm about to like get this new book thing printed. Like, and I know that he's like done a few himself or whatever. And I basically was just asking for someone to like pick it up and like drop it off at places. And then he was just like, actually funny that you mentioned that because I actually just started a publishing company. He's like, I'd be interested in doing it. So publishing. I think he's only just started. So he's just done his own book, and then he's got a bunch of other stuff coming up. But yeah, so it was just like I randomly messaged him to just be like, oh, can you give me a hand? And then he was just like, I'm interested in doing this. So he's actually been like doing a bunch of the back end work, which is great, and sort of handling all that shit. And yeah, so I was trying to work out what to do. Like, I should do something. So it was basically like Oscar just went to Lulu's and was just talked to Coco and was like, would you be interested in doing this? So now they're sort of like planning this whole thing. So there's a launch on the 14th of Feb, in the afternoon, I think it is, at Lulu's, which I won't be at, which.
Okay. So is Mom Publishing the only place that's publishing them, or is it getting done in Canada?
I was just gonna just do the one thing. I mean, it already got like bigger than I wanted it to go in the first place anyway, because I was just gonna do this thing on my own because it's just what I'm used to doing with sort of everything, you know. Be like, yeah, I don't even know how many copies these make. I don't even think it's printed yet, but they've sort of just, I don't know, Oscar's just like handled all the other stuff. So we ended up doing a lot more than I intended to, which is great because it just means that more people will see it. And I think it's important, you know. It's like I've said it a bunch of times already, but who knows when things will be, I mean, quote unquote normal, but I don't think it'll be anytime soon. Like even now there's gigs and stuff, but it's not like it was. Not to say that that's necessarily bad. It's just like, it's just different.
Yeah, no, definitely. There are gigs starting to happen again here, but everything's like half capacity or something at the moment, which it's still great that we can start doing gigs again. But yeah, there's definitely like, I mean, you know, especially being involved in punk music, people are very wary about, you know, no one's going to be crowd surfing or like clumped together, pushing each other around. You know, it's definitely... talked a bit about your zine, and at like when I do an outro, I'll like re-announce like the date and where people can buy it and stuff like that. This interview is mostly for your zine, but I figure while we're at it, like we might as well talk about Civic a bit.
Yeah, for sure.
You moved to Melbourne, you didn't know anyone, but then you got involved, like you started Civic, who now have like an album coming off a pretty good independent Australian label, which is a lot more than other people can say they've done in 5 years. Do you want to just maybe go over how you met people from knowing only like one person, creating Civic, and where you're at now? Civic.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no, go.
I was going to say, well, I didn't create it. I mean, it was kind of a thing without me for a brief period of time. The way it started, I say that I didn't know anyone, which I didn't, but I also like ended up having to sublet somewhere to live, and I ended up subletting into a place where Lewis Hodgson was living, so like the guitar player from Civic. So I lived with him for a couple of years, even before Civic started, because he was doing other stuff at the time. And then I think he just found himself in a spot where there wasn't really much going on, and he started rehearsing with Jim and Roland, and Darcy, I guess, at the time. And like I knew Jim for a while too, just randomly through like people I'd met. And but anyway, I think they started before me. I think Lewis was on drums, and then after a while he's like, hey, do you want to come by? Like, it's just not, he's like, he knew that I'd be a bit better because it's kind of like my main thing. And yeah, so then we just kind of, I don't know. It's just like the Civic like starting story is not particularly interesting, because it's the same as like the average one. You know, it's just like, oh yeah, like we started playing music together and it kind of just worked. And then, you know, like yeah. It is what it is. But with, like, the thing is, like, we've been going for like, what, 3 years now. We just like work really well together.
Well, only 3 years. Like, I mean, that's great. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I mean, it's like I've been in a lot of bands that don't do fucking anything in 3 years, you know, like, yeah. And the amount that we have done is pretty good. And I can still back all the music that we've put out, like from day one, like it's all been great. And I think that's in part by a bit of like, you know, us being fucking psychos about, like, I think mainly being a lunatic about being in control of like what's what and over obsessing about stuff and getting people to like, in the recordings, like do takes over and over. Like, I know that Jim would, at some points I was like, he's gonna fucking kill me if he has to do this vocal take again, but he has to do this vocal take again. And there was a lot of that on the new record. And I mean, it seems like a pain in the ass while you're doing it, but I like almost always you look back fondly about it and you're like, I can't wait to record another record, even though at the time I was like, there was times where I was like, I want to kill myself because this is driving me nuts. Like most, like things can be bad and you can still look fondly on them. I mean, like, you know, there was points in time on tour, not even just with Civic, where I was just like, fucking get me out of here, you know? And I think everyone goes through that a bit, but like at the end of the day, you're still doing something that's, I mean, like, it sounds stupid to even say like, oh, adding to culture or something. Cause like half the time you're just drinking beers and fucking not knowing what the fuck you're doing. But it is though. I mean, like we're all sort of adding something and it's not nothing, you know?
Mm-hmm. So do you want to tell me a bit about the record coming up, like when it was recorded and like your involvement in it?
Yeah. So I think it's coming out in March. We started recording it so long ago, like, cause it's been sort of slow moving cause we were all just busy and we also toured a lot and like got like flown out to France to play like a one-off gig, you know, like there was just like a yeah, exactly. So there's like all this like random stuff that sort of like slowed things down a bit, but it was all like fine. And I think the timeline actually made sense, because if it had come out like when it was finished, we would have just sat on it and no one would have even noticed, because everyone's in COVID anyway. But anyway, yeah, so we started recording it like fucking 2 years ago or something, and we went into the old Bakehouse studio with Phil Gianfrido and laid down some sort of bed tracks there. And then from that, at some point we went to the Flightless studio when it was at the old spot. Like, I think they've got a new one now. Then we'd lay down some more beds there. And then I basically just like recorded the rest and just built up the whole record over a bunch of different spots and like, yeah, a bunch of different gear. And you know, pining over things and being like, I don't think it's right. We got to do it again. And just doing things over and over and just making essentially like what we thought would be a perfect record.
Awesome.
That felt, I guess our thing was just like, we wanted to do something that was sort of timeless, like, and which is really fucking like, when you listen to punk bands, it sounds easy, right? You're just like, oh, it's just three chords or whatever. But to do it right takes a lot of fucking effort. And
there's like, a lot of music that's not timeless. There's a lot of punk music that's definitely not timeless, you know?
Well, that's the thing. There's bands that age well and there's bands that don't, you know what I mean? Like, well, I'm wearing the shirt right now. And I think we've talked about this before, but like going to see Integrity, you're like, okay, this fucking aged really well. And I don't know if it's because, well, DeWitt is definitely insane. So I'm sure that he was like pedantic as fuck about like how the recordings as well, but that aged well. And it's hard to do. And I guess maybe it's luck of the draw a bit, but anyway, that's sort of what we wanted to do and just took a lot of time to do it. And yeah, so Flightless is putting it out.
And how'd you get involved with Flightless?
There was some weird thing where a booking agent from London reached out to us. So I got this email that was just like, oh, like Eric from Flightless, like told me to hit you up and said that you guys were good or what. I'd be interested in like helping you book a tour. And then like got us sort of in touch with like our like, I don't even know if it's our current booking agent anymore, because I don't know what the state of anything is anymore. But this dude from Berlin, and that was sort of the introduction to it or something, I guess. But then I know Eric and Benny and stuff. But I get that they were just interested in hearing the record, and it was just kind of this thing like, are they going to put it out or not? Like, and eventually we just finished it and sent it to them. They were like, yep, we're fucking down. So I'm not sure what's going to happen, like in terms of like a record release gig or whatever, but I most likely will not be playing it, which is a fucking huge bummer. But I mean, it is what it is, you know, like I'm happy to. It'll be interesting to watch the videos of it at some point. If there's anybody that posts about it, they'll just be like, oh, this could have been me. But we'll see though. Like, I don't know.
We'll be right back.
Do you feel like you also mentioned in your write-up for the photo zine talking about nostalgia of the old world in the middle of a pandemic, talking about like these things and where you're at right now, is this something you think about often, or is it just something that you've had to accept so you put it to the side in terms of thinking about these things?
Is it something that comes up? I think like we all do that, don't we? Like at points in time, you look back and, you know, like we were saying just before about, you know, making records or going on tour, like that's nostalgic in a way as well. You just look back on things differently and you're like, oh, things are different now.
Yeah.
So you kind of by default have to do that. But
yeah,
I mean, like me doing the book now wasn't like, oh, I'm going to do this now because of this. It was, I've got fucking nothing else going on, so I might as well do this, take the time to do something worthwhile, you know?
Yeah, totally.
So that's sort of, yeah, like the timing of it isn't necessarily like, it was sort of like an accident where it's just like, it does sort of feel nostalgic, but I think that's just like a result of the world we live in and not necessarily what I intended at all. I mean, it was just me documenting things because I knew that I wanted to and I thought it was important enough to.
When someone brings up Australian underground music, what are the bands that just pop into your head?
I mean, like
all of them and none of them.
Yeah, I mean, there's just like so many examples of bands that will age well, you know. Like to me, like I mean, like is current as say like Total Control are. I mean, like they'll probably age well, and that's sort of like a lot of in to a lot of people, I think, too, because it's. I mean, it's fairly accessible, you know, but, you know, like to me, like a band like Exec is like one of the most unique bands to come out of the city because like they have this air of post-punk and it's sort of dubby, but it just sounds like them. You know what I mean? And then there's so many different genres in Melbourne. So it's hard to like pinpoint anything, you know, but like in terms of punk, I mean, there's just too much.
Yeah.
Or not too much, but there's just so much that it's impossible to like, we're like, what's the sound? Like people say Australia has a sound, but I don't really think it does. It's just fucking all over the place.
I think Australia has a lot of different sounds, but there's still something about everything that's kind of Australian in a way. There's like just kind of like this like little bit of like a sheet.
You know what I used to say about it? This was a thing that I had sort of come to the conclusion of after being around here for so long and like watching bands go through the process of playing together, playing gigs and like recording and being really like regimented and like demoing things before and et cetera, and being crazy about it and then releasing something that was just like, yeah, it's fine. The thing about like a bunch of Australian bands that are at least people that I know is just, it's really fucking loose. Like people don't care about the details of stuff as much. And it's just about writing good songs and knowing how to play them. It's just like, it doesn't matter what amp you're using. It doesn't matter what microphone you're using to do your vocals or like, you know what I mean? There's just like this extra looseness that kind of gives things a bit of momentum maybe. That's and nice. Its own energy.
Yeah.
You know, like this is not exactly what I mean, but like, I used to say, I was like, oh, you know why people sound Australian is because they're fucking wasted all the time. And everything's loose. Which is obviously not the case for everyone, but it does apply at points, you know, like.
Oh yeah. Tell me about the tape.
So the tape, it was actually like Coco from Lulu's sort of idea. Cause they're doing the launch or whatever. He's like, oh, we should do something else. He's like, how about like a tape?
Did you hit up every band?
Well, that was the thing. Like at first I was like, oh yeah, I can make a tape. I can make a mixtape. No problem. You know, like I was like, I'll put in song. And then he suggested, no, you should just ask them to pick a random song and then make a cool mixtape or whatever. Which initially, I'm not going to lie, I was like, that sounds like a pain in the ass, which it kind of was, but in the end, oddly, it was like really, it worked out really fucking well. Mm. Like more than I could imagine, to the point where I've listened to the tape like a half dozen times just on my own time, because the songs submitted were just all really, they weren't all like crazy deep cuts, but it was just a good mix of shit. And I just kind of arranged it so it made sense. And you know, it's got some like songs that probably no one's ever heard. Like Mikey Young, like sent me like this song that I was just like, I couldn't even like find it online.
Yeah.
Which is classic him, I guess. But the whole thing flows real well. And it's just like a good random mixtape. So it achieved its goal. But it was interesting to have to like sort of hit up everyone from here. It was like, you know, like 40 people being like, hey, and it was so confusing for people as well. They were like, one of our songs. I was like, no, read the email. It's like,
yeah,
that's very specifically like any song at all. But anyway, it worked out. I had to cut so much of it, unfortunately.
Why?
Because it's an hour long tape, and it didn't even dawn on me to be like, oh, like how long? And you know, the people had submitted like 7 minute songs, and I was like, this is not going to fly. So anyway, I trimmed it down to an hour. And hey, you know, whatever. It wasn't that much work for anyone. They just had to pick a song, you know, like.
Thanks for listening in, and I hope you enjoyed the interview with Dave Forcier and this episode of the Modern Australian Underground. If you want to get in contact, hit me up at litmus.media.
my body will ache. It's nice to meet you. My hairs, they shake, and the outside air is cold. Crisp, wet, and cold. It's cold in the north. Cold in the north. Cold in the north.
Another day in the ointment, sadly I hide in a flickering time, waiting for a sign. It's the product of a feeble mind. Ring, ring, yet to receive it. Did you hear what happened this time? The telephone ain't my style, and you're screaming down the line.
Litmus Media.